Thank you for joining us at the First Baptist Church of Coleraine, Massachusetts, as Pastor Jim Rennie continues to faithfully challenge and encourage us in the Word. And it is our prayer that this message will encourage the believer and bring the unbeliever closer to a saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, we're going back to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 3, it's about at least 30 verses, but we're only going to read half of them. Otherwise, you'd be here for a long time. Okay, we're going to read 15 verses of Daniel chapter 3. True story. King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold 90 feet high and 9 feet wide. And he set it on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. He then summoned the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials to come to the dedication of the image he had set up. So the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials assembled for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And they stood before it. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, "This is what you are commanded to do, O peoples, nations, and men of every language. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace." Therefore, as soon as they heard the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, and all kinds of music, all the peoples, nations, and men of every language fell down and worshipped the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. At this time, some astrologers came forward and denounced the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, live forever. You have issued a decree, O king, that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music must fall down and worship the image of gold, and that whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into a blazing furnace. But there are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, O king. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you've set up. Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and these men were brought before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar said to them, 'Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, that you do not worship, you do not serve my gods, or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand?'" May God give us understanding of his word this morning. Amen. Father, give us understanding, we pray. Some of these stories are familiar to some, but there's so much more that we can learn, and pray that we do. Help us to be tuned in to what we'll hear. Be guided by your Spirit. Keep our ears and our hearts open. In Jesus' name, amen. So in this chapter, third chapter of Daniel, it relates the story of Daniel's three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They took a stand against the king of Babylon when they refused to bow down to his idol, his image of gold. So the question is, that I've wondered about, where was Daniel? Some people assume that Daniel was thrown into the fiery furnace as well. It doesn't say that. There's only his three friends. Where was Daniel? We don't know. Plain and simple, that's the answer. We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. But we can speculate. Remember that Daniel was a very high-ranking official. He had been promoted as ruler over the entire province of Babylon. And it's likely he'd been sent away on some kind of assignment by the king. Therefore, he wasn't present when his friends were suffering this terrible life-threatening ordeal. And it was a life-threatening ordeal. If someone threatens to throw you into a fiery furnace, you're not going to survive it, naturally speaking. Amen? But we serve God who's supernatural. And King Nebuchadnezzar, he made this image of gold. And we're told it was pure gold. And can you imagine how much that is worth today? Do you know what the value is in today's currency? Neither do I. And I'm not going to speculate. But it says, if you look at the authorized version, it was 60 cubits high, 6 cubits wide. NIV is a lot clearer. 90 feet high. Imagine, pure gold, 90 feet high and 9 feet wide. Now, this statue illustrates how proud a person Nebuchadnezzar was. We've really come to that conclusion already if you've been coming on a regular basis. And thankfully, most of you do. Very proud. Not only to have an image made of himself so people could worship him, but he decreed that everyone should bow down to it as though he was a god. And he believed that he was a god, and many people believed that he was a god, like they did in Egypt. They believed the pharaohs were god. Now, this self-aggrandizement of man is nothing new. We're all born in sin, and we all have that problem called pride. And man is the same as he ever was. It's been clearly demonstrated, especially leaders, now and in history, how proud in every generation some of these leaders were and are. Let's look at the past. Let's just take one. Adolf Hitler, for example. It's before my time, thankfully. But you may have seen newsreels, which I have if you're a student of history, which I am, from the 1930s Germany. Some of you have lived through the war. People were, if you look at those newsreels, it's just like idol worship. The people were totally mesmerized by this despot. They idolized him. this tyrannical madman who led the world into world war that cost the lives of 80 million people. Think about that. Between 1939 and 1945. So what was the penalty for bowing down, for not bowing down to this idol? Those that didn't bow down and worship the idol of Nebuchadnezzar were to be executed by being thrown into a blazing fiery furnace. Of course, for the majority of people that didn't want an early demise, and probably none of us do want an early demise, we want to live a long, productive life, don't we, as long as possible. Like most people, they wanted to live a long, productive life. They didn't want an early demise. So they had no problem bowing down to Nebuchadnezzar's image. It was just another god. And they worshipped many, many gods, many false gods. And just to bow down and worship another one was no big deal. Hey, if it's going to save my life, I'll bow down to it. I'll kiss its feet. I'll do whatever it takes, as long as I'm alive. So most of them did. Except three. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They refused to bow the knee. They refused to bow down. Of all the people that bowed the knee to the king's image, these three Hebrews did not. These were devout Jews who knew there was only one true God, Jehovah. They were not willing to compromise what they knew to be the truth. It would even cost them their lives, but they were willing to sacrifice their lives and not compromise what they believe to be true. So these brave souls, not only willing to sacrifice their lives, but also many have and still do. Thousands of Christians that have refused to deny Jesus have paid the ultimate sacrifice because of their faith in him. Amen? And we don't forget them. Now, between verses 4 and 7, we seem to have an attempt by Nebuchadnezzar to have a one-world religion. Because it says that all the nations and peoples of every language, that covers a multitude of people on the face of the earth, does it not? All the nations and peoples of every language, they fell down and worshipped the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. It seems like the king was attempting to form some kind of one-world religion, with him as its head, made up of people of every tribe and every tongue and every language that would worship his image. Of course, we know that's not something new. In the Old Testament, just one example that came to mind, the mighty man of valor, Nimrod, he attempted to do the same thing. We've already studied this. About the Tower of Babel. He gathered all the people on the face of the earth together. This was prior, after the flood. All the people of the earth were gathered together at the Tower of Babel. You can read that in Genesis chapter 10. We've already studied it. Remember? But God had to put an end to that idea. So he came down, he confused the languages, so all the people scattered, they couldn't understand each other. So they scattered the population to obey his original command given to Adam and Eve, which was go forth and multiply. God will always have his way. But this was another attempt of having a one world religion, you know, to set up that Tower of Babel and gather into one place. God's not going to have it for long. He's not going to tolerate it, and he didn't. So this one world religion concept even exists today. The idea of gathering people of all denominations, are you with me? Gathering all the denominations together and all so-called faiths. This is an idealistic so-called solution to all the world's problems and all the world's religious differences, which there are numerous, amen? And this is referred to as the ecumenical movement. Have you heard of it? Which is just another attempt of man to form a one world religion. And it's going to happen one day, but we'll be taken out before that happens. From the beginning of time, there's always been false prophets. There are false prophets today. Many people in pulpits that Satan has set up to deceive the people. People that are religious, people that appear to be godly, but they teach a counterfeit gospel. Right? They teach a counterfeit gospel. They're controlled by the devil to deceive gullible people, to lead them astray, and eventually into hell. That's where they're going. Because that's where Satan is going. That is his ultimate destination. And he wants to take everybody else with him. Thank God that we're not in that group. Amen. So Jesus warns us, Matthew 7:15, he says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Ravenous wolves. Now we should know by now, if you've been here long enough under this ministry and hopefully previous ministers, there's only one God, made up of three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, all equal. Otherwise known as the Holy Trinity, the Holy Trinity. But also the Bible is clear, in the end times, the devil will raise up an unholy Trinity. An unholy trinity devised by the enemy of God and the souls of mankind, Satan. This unholy trinity. Three, Satan himself, who is anti-God. The beast, who is anti-Christ. The beast is the Antichrist. And also the false prophet, who is the anti-spirit, Holy Spirit. So this unholy trinity will persecute believers. They'll deceive millions of other people during the tribulation period, resulting in eternal death during that seven-year tribulation. But we're going to be taken out at the rapture before that occurs. God always rescues his people from wrath. We'll be taken out. We won't go through the tribulation, only unbelievers. But there'll be people that get saved during the tribulation period, and they'll be persecuted, and they'll be put to death. They will be beheaded. But the church is going to be taken out. Now, during this dispensation of time, obviously it's not happened yet, but it will, a powerful religious leader, never seen from the beginning of time, is going to set up an idol, just like Nebuchadnezzar set up an idol, this false prophet is going to set up an idol of the Antichrist. And you should read Revelation chapter 13, verses 11 through 15. It's the image of the beast. Who is the beast? The Antichrist. And he's going to set this up. It's going to be set up so peoples of the world, all tribes, tongues, nations, during that tribulation period, will worship that image. So you can see there's a similarity between what's going to happen in the future and what's happening here in Daniel chapter 3. There's a future event and there's also a past event where Nebuchadnezzar has this image of gold erected and all people of every nation and language were to bow down and pay homage to it. So the three Hebrews, they were accused and confronted by the king himself. Now, it tells us these three Old Testament saints, they refused to bow down, worship the idol. Consequently, their fate was sealed. Or was it? Or was it? Long story short, but it could have been a lot longer. There were some astrologers. We learn about these, what the astrologers were. These are Chaldeans. They worshipped the sun, the moon, the stars. Basically, the devil. They were jealous of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego because they'd been promoted. And these people were opposed to God and opposed to his followers, just like a good percentage of people in the world today. They're opposed to God and they're opposed to his followers. You ever discovered that? And these astrologers, because they hated Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they were jealous, they wanted them dead. They wanted them killed. So just like God raised up people to serve him, Satan, he raises up the lost to serve him and attempts to disrupt and destroy God's people in one form or another. So these satanically inspired astrologers, the Chaldeans, they went into the king's presence and they licked his boots, if he was wearing any. Oh, king, live forever. What do you call that? Licking his boots, right? What do you call it? I don't even want to know. And they were there just to stir up trouble for those three Hebrews. And in the hope of having them put to death. And it worked. Oh, king, live forever. And they said, there are some Jews who pay no attention to you. Well, that was wrong. Of course they did. They paid attention. They knew what was going on. But that's a lie. They neither serve your gods, true, nor worship the image of gold you have set up, also true. So the king, having heard this report, was fuming with rage. The guy is psychotic. He's proud beyond comprehension. They've gone to all the expense and the time to set up his image. And all the peoples of the earth were bound down in the sound of that music that were to bow down, except these three, these dissenters. So what did he do? He immediately summoned them to his presence, the three of them, to question them, to see if these accusations were true. And it seems he liked these three because he'd already been promoted them along with Daniel because they were part of Daniel's group where he interpreted his dream where no one else could. Remember that? He seemed to like these fellas. And he was willing to give them another chance to bow down to his image. And then everything will be hunky-dory. To give them another chance to save themselves. But only if they would worship his image. And he says, now when you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace. And then he asked the question, then what God, and it's a small g, and what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? Well, no small g God would be able to rescue him, but they didn't serve a small g God. They served and worshipped the one true God. And they believed that he could rescue them if he chose to do it. Now, the king should have learned from past experience that these Hebrews didn't just worship any old false god. They worshipped Jehovah, whom Nebuchadnezzar himself rightly described in chapter 2. Verse 47, he himself said, when he saw that miracle through Daniel, the prophet, he exclaimed that God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings. But apparently, he got a short memory. He forgot there was a God who was, who is, and able to rescue his people from harm, if he chooses to. Sometimes he chooses to, sometimes he chooses to heal, sometimes he chooses not to heal. Sometimes he chooses to rescue his people. Sometimes we know that people have paid the ultimate sacrifice, but they're in heaven, so they're a lot better off. So let me close. No matter how powerful man may think he is, he's just a puny little worm compared to the almighty, omnipotent creator of heaven and earth. And King Nebuchadnezzar had to learn that, and we'll learn in future chapters. He had to learn it the hard way. So in this first half, this is part one. Come back for next week's thrilling installment in part two. Hopefully we'll finish, Lord willing. It illustrates that believers in any generation, we have to be respectful to those in authority, which they were. Shadrach, and you'll learn about that if you read the chapter. They were respectful to the king. And regardless who they are, whoever they are in authority, we know that these people are ignorant of the true knowledge of God, like the king was. But also at the same time, having respect for those in authority, which we ought to have, we should be like these three Hebrews, these three men of faith, of true faith. We should never compromise what we know to be the truth, that Jesus is Lord. And we will never deny him, no matter what it costs. Even if it may cost us our lives, we will never deny him. And it's easy for us to say that sitting here in a cozy church in Coleraine, Massachusetts, in the United States of America. But there's people out in that third world having their lives threatened every day, and they've paid the ultimate sacrifice for not denying their Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Let us close in a word of prayer, prepare ourselves for the Lord's Supper. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your wonderful word. So much in it, so much we don't know, so much to learn. But we're thankful that we're able to be here this morning, and those listening by radio or internet, sitting in their cars, wherever they may be, on the podcast, we need to realize that you are the Creator, and help us to make a stand for what we know to be the truth. Give us the courage to be your ambassadors wherever we go into this world, and not to deny you, not to be ashamed of you. When you were nailed on that cross, you were stripped completely naked, and you bore the shame. Couldn't have been worse. Couldn't have been a greater humiliation than when you stood before the whole Roman Praetorian Guard. They stripped you naked, and they mocked you, and they slapped you, and they spit on you, and they pulled out your beard. And like a sheep that is led to the slaughter, you open not your mouth. You turn your back to the smiters and allow them to abuse you even unto death. We thank you that you did that. And because you did that, help us to remember the price that you paid to bring us to God. Maybe somebody listening to this message, you're without the knowledge of God. We all were. The true and living God. Let me tell you that Jesus is God. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, you can be saved. You shall be saved, but you need to call upon him. His name, the name which is above every name, Jesus Christ, is the only Savior. And he came to die for you because he loves you. He paid the sacrifice so you wouldn't be punished for your sins. He became sin for you. Now, would you deny such a Savior and refuse to believe? If you choose to reject, then you reject God, and he will reject you. And you will go to a lost eternity forever and ever and ever and ever. But the good news is you can be saved. But you need to call on the Savior. I hope you will. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you again for tuning in. You can find our podcasts on Apple Podcasts and anywhere else you find podcasts. We'd love for you to join us at the First Baptist Church in Coleraine for Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. We are located at 81 Foundry Village Road, Coleraine, Massachusetts. If you have any questions or inquiries, please feel free to call the church at 413-624-8886. Hope to see you soon. God bless.